All right, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we look at your word, it's an important time to always invite you. And I was just listening to a CD by Adrian Rogers and stuff, and it's about the book of Revelation. And he was saying that if you're not a Christian, if you don't want to know about God, this book makes no sense. And I believe the same thing, not just for the book of Revelation, but for your entire book, your entire message, your love doesn't make sense. So I pray that our hearts are in alignment with God, that we are seeking Him with everything that we have. So that the message that God has for you comes in strong and clear. That it's not my words that make a difference, but it's God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, comes into you, shuffles things up a little bit, rearranges, and puts things in place and things that where they should be. I do thank you for your word. Your word is encouraging. Your word gives us direction. It allows us to have discernment of what's right and wrong and in ways that we can correct our lives so that we can honor you in all that we do. It also gives us a pathway to praise you wholeheartedly. Lord, I pray for everyone to be touched here today with your word as they usually are. And this is my prayer. This is my prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I have to warn you already, my day is not going well. I was downstairs talking with Jane, and you know how I talk with my arms kind of flowing around. I knocked off all the little communion cups that were standing right there. And I'm like, what are we doing? And she asked me to take the communion. No, actually, in the beginning, she asked me to ask someone else to take the communion cups up the stairs, because the one time I did do it, I spilled stuff and it took everything. She wasn't going to trust me again, and I wasn't going to do it. And then Marlene pointed out that when I got out of the car, there was some mud over there. So I was like, I tracked mud all over the place. I'm trying to play over here, and it's like I haven't played like in 2 weeks. And it's like that first song went terrible. The second song, my page just kind of flips over. So I'm like trying to play like this. And I can't move the page back because my hands are busy, you know. So I have no idea how this message is going to come out. Yeah. No idea. Yes. Yeah, keep the faith. Well, it is called just draw near to God. And it's not, a lot of times we tend to draw near to God when we have 9/11 events coming in. And you know, full well, most of us remember that. It's funny, some of the kids have been 18 years now. Most of those kids have no clue what was going on. I still remember to this day what I was doing when I saw that event that was happening. I didn't realize it was because people were watching TV, and we was taking a group of kids out to the front lawn to do a survey, work with the surveyors, rods and the surveyors to plot something. And I could see two classrooms had this, the TVs on, and I could see the car or the planes going into the buildings. So I remember that very distinctly, and coming back and just sitting thinking, you know, what is our world coming to in that area? So many people went to churches. Many people were seeking answers. Many people were coming to God. And what's happened since? You know, we seem to be dispersed. We seem to have forgotten. Not the people that, you know, risked their lives, because we seem to do that annually, but we've forgotten where we went during those times of trouble. As a nation, I'm talking. And so I'm thinking that what we need to do is to draw near to God. I have some diagrams that I worked on. And the idea when we decide to go to God, so many times we have to be prepared before we go before the throne of God. And if it's for me, you know, if we were going to go meet a dignitary of some sort, from another nation or maybe someone, you know, coming into their classroom. I know the regents sometimes have come into our school. And you know what they do is they prep everything. And so when the regent comes into the school, they go to certain classes. That's all pre-described. And there's certain things going on in the class. And the regent sees such a beautiful school. And they see how things are just working and harmonizing. And the students are all well-behaved. In fact, they're very well-dressed that day. And, you know, there's certain things that teachers are doing to show off, you know, their students and the abilities that they have. Sometimes I wish the regents would just come in on any day and just see what real life is like. But when we draw near God, sometimes what we do is we prepare ourselves for that encounter with God, don't we? And it's kind of like taking a really big hike and everything. And what we do is we have a little road map and we have this backpack and we superload our backpack with things so that when we do draw near God, we are completely ready for anything that might happen. And you can look at there and you can just think about this. When you're going on a hike, you have no idea really sometimes how long that hike is going to go, because if you've never been on a particular hike, the terrain may be rough. So it may be wet. It may be there's no spots where you can take a break, and so you have to carry water with you. You have to carry a certain amount of food with you. You might have to carry some bedding with you. You might have to carry a first aid kit. You have no idea what's going to happen along that track. And you seem to bring a whole bunch of things with you. Well, this message is about things that we bring with us that maybe we don't need to bring with us when we decide to draw near to God. So there's nothing that's in any particular order. Just kind of threw it out. I feel like in this, things that we bring to what we bring to God and stuff like that, or what we have to do in order to be able to try to understand where God is, we carry an awful lot with us. And when we draw near to God, maybe one of the things that is always carrying with us is just a little simple thing, is like the media. And the media is when we watch, doesn't matter if you're watching CNN, watching Fox, watching CBS, or any other news sources that are out there, you're going to see a lot of stuff that's going on in this world. And you're going to wonder why, you know, and you're going to see an awful lot of destruction. You're going to see an awful lot of conflict. Sometimes it seems like the media is trying to make conflict. Again, it doesn't matter what broadcasting station it is. It seems like sometimes what we see is, that individuals are making conflict. It may not be the media, but they're just reporting some of the stuff. And so we start carrying this stuff and on our back, and then we focus in on those things when we're trying to come near to God. There's a crisis that goes on, and it's like, you know, we see that I'm going to pick on the newscasters and stuff like that. It's funny when the newscasters are standing there in this hurricane force gale winds and stuff like that, and they're standing, the wind is just blowing in, and they can hardly stand up. And then behind them, there's two people that are just kind of like walking right along the beach like there's nothing going on. It's like, what is this? They probably picked a spot right by a building where the wind was the strongest, and they're giving a slanted view of what's going on. And not to say that, you know, there isn't destruction behind there, because we know that. We've seen the Bahamas already, and there's destruction that wind can do, and storms and how it can sit there. We still don't know the number of lives that have been lost and that sort of thing. But we focus. The point with what I'm looking at here with the media, the media can be movies, it can be theater stuff. We spend our time there. And we're trying to see what's going on with the world. We're trying to understand these parts of how Russia's thinking and how that relates to China and how that does with the trade with the U.S. And our focus is everything about this world and how things work. Because if we could just, you know, maybe get a better perspective of it, we might know better how to do God's work that's in there. But you know what God says about this world? Let's look at some scripture here. And he says, 1 John 2:15-16, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but the world. So if we're drawing, we want to draw near to God, what do we need to remove from us? Sometimes to get close, the world. So what do you say we take one thing off our pack, and this one here is that big inflated little cart that we have, or you know, some thing that we're going to be carrying. We're just going to get rid of that. Our pack is getting a little lighter. So what about the next one here? And we're looking at what other things do we put in our pack that we feel we need to have, or that we have that might even be inhibiting the closeness that we have with God. One of those things is, I call them just habits. Right? There's things that we do which are kind of silly, childish things that maybe we've done and have always done them and never really given much thought about those. I remember even as our kids, when I was a kid and stuff, you know, we'd go to church, you know, every week, but then we would also celebrate this holiday called Halloween. And it just, as I got older and stuff, it just didn't make sense. And it's funny to me where I see old people wanting to dress up in a Halloween costume, and it's just for kids stuff. But then the adults seem to want to harbor in on that. And sometimes we have habits where we decide when it's hunting season that we're going to go out to the hunting camp. And that's the time where the guys get together and they start telling those, you know, dirty jokes and stuff like that, and they start drinking. And it's like, when you come home, it's like, you know, that is just the camp stuff. You know, what's in the camp stays in the camp. You probably have heard that stuff before, right? But it's like, why do we have those habits of doing things? Because you normally wouldn't do that in public with everybody. And then even sometimes our habits get really bad because we have addictions, either with alcohol or we have addictions with drugs. Those force our lifestyles into perpetual habits that aren't good with God. And we want to draw near to Him, but these habits seem to be in the way. I have no idea what habits we all have that are here. But God knows, and you know in your heart, habits that you might have that might be hindering how close you are to God. So Paul speaks a little bit about this to the people, and sometimes he gets frustrated with some of the groups where he's established a church and established the ministry. And he comes back later, and there's no growth because they continue in their habits, not really seeking God, but seeking and maintaining their habit more than they are their closeness with God. So in Hebrews 5:12-14, kind of speaks about this. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, their old habits and stuff, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Are you doing habits that you know that God isn't pleased with? That restricts you from being able to draw close to God? And if there are those habits, get some help. I know there's individuals here that could help you. There are agencies in the county that can help you. There might be friends, family members, even ones far away so that you can speak to them and not, you know, whatever. But God doesn't want us just so that we know who He is and just we just stay where we are. He wants us to grow, in essence, in life. Every day He wants us to grow. So maybe there's something in our backpack that's tucked in the back of it in here. And so let's get rid of that. And that can make our backpack a little bit lighter. How about another one over here? Traditions. Sometimes within the church or sometimes with family members and stuff like that. We can't do that ministry because that's not what our church does. We're not touching that one there with a 100-foot pole. Because we have never done that before. How hard sometimes it is where we have these traditions, that those traditions become more important than our walk with God. I can't go to that family reunion because every time, you know, that I go there, there's a lot of problems that happen and I just need to stay away from that. And then you've got other people that are saying, you have to go to that family tradition because that's what we do. And there's all types of pressure, peer pressure, for us to maintain a certain status of who we think we are and what we should be doing with the individuals that are around there. And it's kind of like the Pharisees when they came to the disciples who were eating without washing their hands first. And what does Jesus say to them in this verse here is that in Mark 7:18, that you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of man. That if you really want to draw close to God, you need to let go of those traditions. Man's traditions. Now, there are things that God wants us to do perpetually. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just those things that God, that man has ordained for us to do, and there's certain expectations that we have. So maybe there's something in your backpack. In this case here is a little guitar they're going to be taking. And let's just take that off. Traditions, can I go? How about this one here where we're looking at sometimes when we live our life and everything, we decide to go to a realm of isolation. I can't stand that person. I can't stand that family. I can't stand that coworker. So you know what I'm doing? I'm quitting. I'm done. And I don't need to see them because I can find God on my own. When I go out into the woods, that's where I find God because it's God is nature. And that's the only place you're gonna find God because you live in isolation. Or you might even get to the point where it's like, I don't need God. I'm going to isolate myself. Because the church has hurt me. Because that person that claims to be a Christian, they have hurt me. And so I just am going to withdraw from God altogether. Because how could a God, a loving God, allow this to happen to me? Whatever it is. Sometimes it's the loss of a child, loss of a friend, loss of a spouse. Cancer that we've been talking about even in our prayers today. How can God allow that to happen? So we just isolate ourselves right from God. But you know what Scripture says? We can't isolate ourselves. Right? In Romans 14:7-8 says, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. God created everyone. And God loves everyone. But not everyone is His child. Only those who accept who God is brought into the family of God. But there is no discrimination in the eyes of God. Anybody that wants to know who Jesus is and accept Him They don't have to be alone. We also have this thing in our lives. Well, what are we getting rid of here? So we get rid of this little backpack, this little pouch in the back. Our pack is getting lighter. The next thing we've got is work. It takes up a good portion of our lives. Most people it's 40 hours a week. Some people it's 80 hours a week. Some people it's even more. For some people it may be less. But we know how work can interfere with our closeness with God. Always on call. Got to drop whatever we're doing with the family. Got to do the work. And I remember even when I was starting to teach, world's worst teacher right here to begin with. And I have progressed over the years, and you know I consider myself just like a good average teacher or something like that. But I remember that every holiday that we had, my mind was constantly on school, trying to plan, get things ready to go. So even when we had a 2-week spread in Christmas, this is where I'm spending my time. I'm thinking it's all doing this, and I'm working. And I'm not just enjoying the family. But in my mind, I had to do that in order to provide for the family. So I'm making sacrifices at work for the betterment of my children who aren't going to have a father around. How work sometimes can interfere with our life. And sometimes we put work first. And we have to work so that when we have a retirement, that I have enough in the retirement that we can live comfortably. And I'm going to sacrifice all my time now, or maybe when my kids are small or my marriage, sacrifice that time so that we can get ahead of the game and be prepared then for anything that comes. Well, what does Scripture say about that? So let's go to Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Well, this is what I'm doing, everything. Oh, as working for the Lord, not for men. So God wants us to work. And even in my place, I need to do a good job of where I work. But I'm not working just to earn money. I'm not working just to better my family. I'm working, as Scripture says, for the Lord. Not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We've got to remember that our worldly work we need to do. We need to make up provisions for our family. I understand that. But when it becomes our sole focus, how can we draw close to God? So let's get rid of some of this stuff. And that's a big suitcase in the back of your backpack over there. Let's get rid of that. So now our load is getting lighter and lighter and lighter. How about the next one here where we've got, maybe sometimes we carry in our backpack what we call selfish desires. That when we try to get close to the Lord, it's because we want something. Lord, take this pain away from me. Take this cancer away from me. And that's the only reason that you're going to the Lord is because you are suffering. And you're drawing near just for these selfish desires that you've got, that you maybe you get into the church because it's a place where people accept just about anybody. And as they do accept anybody, right? And it's a place where maybe you could have your own agenda and have people start to look to you for certain stuff. Where you become the focus in that church versus Christ because of the selfish desires that you have. Sometimes we even have a prayer in our hearts. I was talking with this woman one time and she went through a divorce. And it's nothing, nobody here, so it's not. she says, you know, it was so bad. I was praying to God, do something to him. You know, let him get hurt. Let him, something, remove this stuff from me. And it's funny, the selfish desires that we have when we draw near to God. Obviously, she's been praying for his heart to be restored and to be put by there. But that's how we come across sometimes. It's about me when we're looking at sometimes our prayers. What does God say in James 4:3? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We need to be in tune with God so that we can know His will and do His will. That's what He wants us to do, and to pray His prayers. So what do we have on here? If we get rid of these selfish desires, we get boom. Let's get rid of that backpack, that pack on the top of our big pack over here. How about this one over here where we've now got less on our loads, where we think, oh, we can approach God. Maybe what we should be sometimes talking, you know, the things that prevent us from getting near to God are lies. When we're looking at this, we're working in our community and we have this, we're taking a position of, let's say, mayor of a town or everything, and people look up to you. And here you are pilfering from the treasury and putting it in your pocket. And the reason you're there isn't to really better the people, but it's to better yourself when you're there. And you're literally just lying to the people. There was a case there. I was talking with somebody about IT. This is IT is, what do they call it? It's like computer people. What's the IT stand for? I forget what the IT stands for. What is it? Thank you. They're not people. They're good. Instructional technologies. It. Yeah, there we go. They have to report in for work. You know, these people that go to the schools and then they have to stay there a certain amount of time, be there because they're physically there and they can do the work and everything. This one IT person found a way where he could remotely log himself in as if he was in the school. He stayed home the whole day. And then he would log himself out at the end of the day. Right? And he collected his paycheck. He did this. I mean, he would go in occasionally, right? So that he still, there was a face that was there. But he did this for like 2 years. How can you do that? Right? People trust you. And yet you're using that trust and you're lying to an individual. Well, sometimes we lie to other individuals because, you know, I've seen this before. People put on a completely different face when you're around. Nobody can see who I really am because I have this armored, plated face on with a fixed smile, beaming eyes. And every time I walk around, there's that smile going on. And yet inside, I am hurting. Why do you need to lie to those people? What is wrong with just saying, I'm having a hard time today. This week for me has been a hard week. I'll be honest about that. Right? I've lost a lot of sleep. Even last night I wasn't sleeping well. And it's like sometimes I don't know how to shut my mind off. So I'm just, you know, I find that, I was thinking about this too. God has kind of given me a gift. And in a way, I think it never have thought of it as a gift. But last night I really felt it was a gift. Is that when I start to read stuff, it puts me to sleep. I don't care what I'm reading. I could be reading the Bible, and it puts me to sleep. And then what I have to do is I have to kind of read a little bit, take a mini nap, rest my eyes. I'll wake up again and bring it up, and then I can read some more. And then eventually I'll have to take another nap. And it's funny that way, you know? So what do you think I was doing at 2 o'clock at night? I was reading. And guess what it did to me? It put me to sleep. It settled my mind and stuff. So maybe the thing that I thought that wasn't good, a good thing, and this is why I kind of hate reading in a way, so it's just, if it's a really good, I appreciate it. Armando, he's given me some CDs and books and everything. If it's good, let me know. I don't want to read 20 things to find out there's one good thing that's in there. I don't have time for that anyhow. Hope I'll read the newspaper and say, Mike, I want you to read this article because this is a good part. You know, it's like, that's the stuff I need. I can't read the whole newspaper. I'd be sleeping all day. So, anyhow, but don't we do that? We put on a face sometimes, and it is hard. And there's times, you know, you have to project certain stuff on there. But even for myself, I'm weak at times, you know? And I appreciate support that goes with that. And sometimes it's really hard when you lie to your closest individual to you. Where you lie to your spouse, you know, yeah, I'm going to go out to that meeting, but you're not going out to that meeting. You're meeting up with somebody else. And then you come to your, you know, your group, your place of work, and you're just friendly with everybody. And yet you're living this lie on deep inside. That if you want to draw near to God, those are things we need to get rid of. Right? So let's look at this here. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess His name. These lips that confess what we're confessing right now, how can they be used for slander? How can they be used to tell somebody a lie when they're also used to praise God? It doesn't work. So let's remove something. And that, in this case here, it's always, you know, something that cover up that we always have is a pretty important thing. And so it happens to be these little side pockets. We put stuff inside there that we stash when we need to have them. Let's get rid of that stuff there. Another one that we've got is relationships. We have, I was told a long time ago when I was like 17 years old, maybe I was 18. I met this guy for like 2 hours. He was a Yugoslavic guy. I was over in New Zealand at the time. And he said two things that really impacted me for the rest of my life. And I don't know why it was so important, but the first thing was, he says, there's things around you that you can't see. And at this time, I've been reading my Bible, you know. I wasn't going to church or anything, but I was really trying to find God in a more intimate way. And so this thing here, so I'm thinking, yeah, you know, that's true, because there's angels around. There's God's spirits that are around. Things around us that we don't even know are there. And then the other thing he said to me was, stay away from wicked women. And I was like, sometimes they're the fun ones, right? It's true. What's that? You missed that part?
I missed that part.
Oh, I'm not going to say it again. She's smiling.
Can't believe you said that.
Yeah. But you know, that has stuck with me so much. In the sense that we need to be careful who we spend our time with. And sometimes we spend time, you know, with people at work and we just get along or we synchronize and everything. But then sometimes we spend time with people in a relationship that we know isn't going to go healthy down the road, but they think the same as us. And because they think the same as us, I'm going to stay with this person here so I don't have to justify myself anymore for the things that I'm doing. Because everybody around me does the same thing. So we have to be careful on those relationships that we have. Sometimes relationships can that are start out as good relationships can go in a whole sideward way. Male, female, and sometimes, you know. And we have to be very careful on those relationships. So what does God say about our relationships that we have? Here. In 1 Peter 4:8 through 10, it says, above all, love each other deeply. And we're talking about this godly love, this unconditional love, not the love of lust, not the love of things, but love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, if you were at Bible study last week, this past week, Wednesday, this is some of that scripture that we read. Right? It doesn't just come in Wednesday and disappear until next year sometime. It's there. It's always there in front of us. So our relationships with one another needs to be in love, not so that we can favor ourselves or get something else out of it. It has to be a true love. So let's see if we can get something else on our backpack and get that off of there. So there, our backpack is finally getting lighter. We've got another thing here that we've got is a religion. Wait a minute now. This is like, what are we talking about? Because this is church, right? And church is all about religion. And I'm saying we need to watch our religion. Well, yeah. All right? If we're using our religion to get ahead, there's something wrong with that picture. Filling out an application and, you know, you maybe you want to become a mechanic and stuff, and maybe you're not a very good mechanic, you don't really have a lot of tools. And so your letters of reference come from all the church members that you met once in your life. And say, hey, could you write me a letter of reference? And then sign it from this particular church so that they know that I'm a churchgoer. And because I'm a churchgoer, I'm a good person, they got to hire me. Because right? I may not be able to really turn wrenches very well, but I'll learn. But we can use religion in a way that's not very good for us. Because sometimes we've been so into church, and I'm not talking about tradition, but what we end up doing is that we start to think of ourselves as better than others. Well, I've been a Christian now for 36 years. I know what I'm talking about. And you got to get your life in act in the right way. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. Because I know. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I can see that you're a bad person. Look at me. Now, there's an example. I'm not going to say what's an example of, but I'm just. My point is that sometimes we use our religion and think that because we've been going to church for such a long time, that we're right with God. I'm sorry to say, but there are people that go to church every week, and they have no clue who God is. There's even those that teach about God that don't know who God is. How can that be? Look at the Pharisees in Scripture. They had no clue that Jesus was God. And he's standing right in front of them, doing all those miracles, and all they wanted to do was kill him. Because they knew better. So if you've got a heart like that, I think God calls that like a hardened heart, a stiff-necked people. God used words like that to his people? Yeah, he did all the time. Because they felt they were better. Let's see what Scripture has to say in James 1, 26 and 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Wow. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this. So if you don't know, here's a good section to look at. To look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That should be your religion. Not that you're higher up and you got this hierarchy, you know, in Christianity. Our walk is not like that. It's not a ladder. It's a pathway that we go to. And our path isn't that we're always running on the path. Sometimes we're there helping others in that path. God has placed those people in front of us to do that. And yeah, you know, I get upset with the kids at school because sometimes, you know, they'll make a mess on the floor and I'm like, you need to pick that up. And they're like, why? Yeah. There's the janitor. The custodians do that. That's their job. I'm not going to do that. I said, guess what? You're going to learn to be one today. You know, and they'll pick it up. And they'll clean it up. You know, and most of them are pretty good that way. But it's true. It's like sometimes they think they're better than others and it, you know, of who they are. So let's see. Oh, there's that nice water bottle that we always have to have to keep ourselves nourished is our religion. Well, I don't know. Let's get rid of that. We're down to, it looks like, just a backpack. So let's go on now to the next one. that we carry around with us that might hinder us is unforgiveness with one another. You know what really this is? It's kind of hard to say this, but it's just stored hatred that you have deep inside your soul. You're just not willing to let go of that. That does not honor God, but we carry that around with us wherever we go. And God says that we are to forgive. And it's kind of hard for me looking at it now because, you know, I haven't had, you know, a drunk driver kill one of my children. I haven't had, been smeared in my marriage. Hope has been a beautiful wife. But if I was smeared that way, how much that would hang on to me in the years and to overcome those struggles. I don't understand that, but I can sympathize with the struggles. Because I've talked to some individuals even here at church. It is hard to go through those. And we carry that around with us. But God tells us to forgive. Because didn't He forgive us of our sin? And if He can forgive us of our sin and the things that we have done that displease Him, that actually where we pull away from God, then why can't we reflect that on the others and forgive them? Because it's really kind of minor what they've done with us, but what we've done to God is just huge. So God puts on our plate a big thing here, and it says Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father also will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's a part that we have to do. We can't just accept God's forgiveness and think we don't have to forgive others. But we carry that around in our backpack. And actually, intentionally, I left that for the biggest part of my backpack. Because we do carry a lot of that around with us. And we harbor it. And what do? My forgiveness is, I just don't need to talk to that person anymore. I don't need to see that family member ever again that lives in Texas because they're so far away and I'm in New York, so I don't have to deal with it. You know, we do those sort of things. And you really haven't forgiven at all with that. So let's get rid of that big pack, this unforgiveness that we have. So here we are. But guess what? I've got another thing that we're carrying around. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're carrying that. And this is one here is I call pride. That deep in our heart that we just can't let go of things. Because when we're talking about pride, it's about me. It's about my feelings. It's about what I want, what I need. And when someone steps on me, my pride is hurt. And all things come out. You know, all this isolation will come out. This holy roller religion stuff comes out. This unforgiveness comes out. Lying comes out. Everything seems to me focus in on this pride. And it sits over there. And you know what we do? We carry that around with us wherever we go. And we hold it there, thinking it's our protection. Well, God has something to say about that. In James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. It's not about you. It's about God. Your relationship with Him is the most important thing that you can have. Everything else will work out. And you know how we carry that around? We carry it right on the top of our head, right there. We think it's a protection from the sun blocking the rays from coming down through us, and we hold on to that hat. Wherever we go, we wear a hat called pride. But we need to get out of that. Get away from that. So let's remove the hat. what's left? All we have left, I mean, you're going to have your shoes. I thought about, you know, taking the shoes off of the person and everything, but I didn't have a picture to put feet in there other than like elephant feet or something. But what I'm like, we still need to, you know, be prepared. We need to have the shoes so that we can walk and do the things. We need to have clothing, protect ourselves from, you know, those things that, where we go out. But there's one thing that I'm not going to take off of this person over there, and that's the roadmap. Because we need to have that. And this person goes to try to get near to God, and they find it in the Bible, right? This here is our roadmap. I'm not going to take that away from this individual because we can't find God without Scripture and knowing who He is. Now, God has a way of touching people, like if you're, you know, stranded on an island and there's no Bibles or anything there, He'll connect with you. I truly believe that. But when His Word is here and it's in front of you and it's the number one bestseller around the world and there's multiples of these in your house and the multiples that you can get in any bookstore, even department stores sell these, there's no excuse not to have a roadmap that's there. But how many of these are just collecting dust? And we decide to take our own path. Or we get lost on the path and we don't know which way to go because we're not looking at the map. It's hard. So you hang on to that roadmap that we've got. And you know what? This is what God wants you to look like when you come to Him. Like this here. This scripture I've got is a little lengthy, but it's Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. And I want you to think about the things that we carry when we try to get close to God and what this scripture here speaks about. I think this is important. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," not by the things that we're carrying, the things that we do, "by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Those things are not done by us. Those things that we're talking about, that washing and the cleansing, that comes from God. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." That day is the day that Jesus returns. In the book of Revelation, I don't understand it, but I know its message. Be ready, because Christ is coming. Are you ready to draw near to God today? You've got two pictures here. Which one is you? And I was thinking afterwards, I probably should have put another verse in there. But you know, there's that young rich man that comes to Christ and says, "What good thing must I do to get to heaven, have eternal life?" God says, "You got to follow the commands," you know, and say, "I've done all these things." For him, get rid of your money. Because that's what you're carrying around that's holding you from getting close to God. He wouldn't do that, and he walked away downcast. And then the disciples are like, we've given up everything for you, Lord. What about us? You know what Jesus says? He gives us an example about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What does a rich man carry with him? A huge backpack. Maybe that scripture does make sense. When I talk about rich, God uses rich and richness of knowing who God is and having a relationship with Him. But we look at rich as things. and make me look good, and the things that I have to do, the lying, to make myself look good, how I cheat sometimes. I'm so stringent that I'm going to keep those traditions regardless of what the Holy Spirit's telling me what to do. That my work is more important than my family or my loved ones. That I pray for things that I'm glorified. And if anybody hurts me, I'm going to pay them back double. That's what a rich man carries in a worldly perspective. God says, throw those things off and come near to me. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for your word today. I just pray that people are touched and that they draw near. Not next week, not a year from now, right now. We don't know when Christ is coming. We don't know what's going to happen on the way home. We don't know. But what we can always do is jump into the loving arms of God. Let's throw off those things that hinder us from having that nearness with God. And be the child that He wants us to be. I thank you, Jesus. Amen.